Okay, somewhere in the solar system, we'll be searching for life. Where? How do we do it?
Boy, there's lots of places to go. The obvious is Mars, and that's got to be the best. If you're a better, you've got to bet either extinct life or living life. And again, it's not going to be animals. You know, when the Viking landers landed there in 75, Carl Sagan had them all fitted out with great big lights on top because he thought there were animals on Mars, and you'd want to make sure that you could spot them at night. I mean, true story. Now we're hoping to find even microbes, but as we learn more and more about Mars, this seems like a better chance. You know, there's water there. We know that water or microbes live in the same sort of cold environments on Earth. Why not Mars?
Could they find there, Peter, worms or rodents or things that might live subsurface, perhaps, in little caves and tunnels?
Well, maybe, but I kind of doubt it. For that sort of complex life, you need pretty complex ecosystems. And to have a complex ecosystem, you would have to have a very good sort of base of the food chain of plants. We've done enough roving on the surface of Mars to realize there's no plant life on the surface. There's no moss. There's nothing you can see. Even the small areas we've investigated, and believe me, those cameras from space can really pick out small stuff. That possibility is over. So now you're thinking subterranean. And Mars has such low atmospheric pressure and so little liquid water because it's so cold, it's really tough to imagine animal life, but it's really easy to imagine bacterial life.
What about Venus?
Venus is too hot. The only place you could find life on Venus, but it's still a possibility, is up in the clouds. And it would be really alien life, very cool alien life, because it would be acid-loving life. It would be a sulfuric acid-based type of life. I talk about this in the book, is a very exciting possibility of the potential of sending a mission. A guy named David Grinspoon actually was the first to really think in detail about this. Send a mission and scoop the clouds of Venus, bring it back, and check for life there.
That's interesting. Could you have, like, jellyfish life that flies in those clouds?
I don't think so. Again, the trouble with that is buoyancy, and you're going to be so far up that you have to be very light. Microbes can easily stay up. Whereas anytime you get even a little bit heavier, it falls out. So, again, unfortunately, it's microbial, but I still find that exciting.
Sure.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Okay, Mercury, too close to the sun,
yeah,
so that's no good.
No good on Mercury.
So we go the other way. Jupiter?
Nothing on Jupiter, but boy, the moon Europa, as you know, is a very exciting target. And there's a couple places it could be. First of all, the outer ice itself. We have life and ice on Earth. Why not there? Within the ice cover. But most hope is for the ocean itself. And you have an ocean 100 miles deep beneath, say, a mile thick of ice. 100 miles deep.
And this is water?
It is water.
That's
water. Water with ammonia in it, but it's water that's going to be a huge ocean. A huge ocean of water. And if you have water, why not life?
If on Europa, have they found what could be landmass, or is the whole thing water?
The whole thing's water. It's nothing but that Kevin Costner water world sent out into space.
Okay, now why would that be? Why would you have a planet of water and no land at all?
Yeah, great question. When the solar system formed, most of the heavier stuff came to the inner planets, and we have something called the snow line, and almost all the water went out into the outer part of the solar system, water and ammonia and methane, and lots of light stuff, the heavy, rocky stuff, went inward. The real question, not so much is why is there so much water out there, but why is there so much water on Earth? We've got an anomalously large amount of water, and most of that probably came from cometary impact early in Earth history. So those satellites have a little small rocky cores, the little bit of rocky stuff that was out there, and giant balls of water, which have a frozen outer rind and lots of liquid on the inside.
But Jupiter itself probably would harbor no life.
Yeah, I don't even think there's going to be a real surface on Jupiter. You just keep going down to the denser and denser gas. Jupiter's a big gaseous body. It's so different from a planet as we know it. The thing about Jupiter that breaks my heart, you remember, of course, the wonderful movie 2001.
Yes.
When that movie was made, they did not know that the greatest hazard to humans going to Jupiter was the fact that Jupiter emits such enormous radiation that no human could live in Jupiter orbit unless the spaceship was shielded so thickly with lead that it seems impossible. We don't think there could ever be a manned mission to Jupiter. The radiation just pervades
just
that
too
system.
Much.
Totally unbelievable.
Robots.
Yeah, it would have to be robots.
So
the other deal, speaking of radiation, is that, you know, if we send anybody to Mars, the radiation hazard there is huge. NASA's already thinking about who to send to Mars, and it would have to be people beyond reproductive age.
That's a good point.
Middle-aged Martian scientists is the way it would be, because there would be a huge and very real danger of radiation poisoning and of problems with reproduction and birth defects later on down the road.
Well, all right, so let's move out to Saturn then. Anything there?
Oh, my favorite. Yours too, I bet. Titan.
Yeah.
Wasn't it exciting when down went Huygens?
Oh, loved it.
I was just, you know, we were all cheering.
Well, oceans of methane, I think, or are they changing their mind on that?
No, it's still methane. Methane's a fabulous deal. And the reason I actually wrote my book is originally to be about Titan only. I got so excited about the possibilities of life on Titan, I just had to write a book about aliens, and pretty soon I filled in all the other stuff too. But Titan was what really got me charged up, and it's because you have there the possibility of great alien chemistry. It's the silicon carbon life we talked about earlier in the show. Titan is so cold that carbon life probably couldn't exist there. The chemical reactions would slow down to such a slow pace.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't have metabolism. But at very cold temperatures, these carbon-silicon bonds actually work. They start taking on the properties that carbon-carbon bonds do at warmer temperatures.
That's a good point.
So now we are looking at a real possibility of the most alien of aliens imaginable. And I'd love to hook up with one of your listeners, or maybe you, George. Somebody needs to do a screenplay about a manned mission to Titan and encountering these silent creatures.
That's a good idea.
Way beyond anything anybody's imagined.